say for the record,
I have not watched football in like four years, roughly. Okay. I canceled out of it.
You know what?
And this is...
I called you out today because I saw it on your Facebook page, and let me just tell you. When people put like stuff on their Facebook page, in this culture, it is a marker of what they approve of. If you went on my Facebook page and you saw a lot of porn, I'm pretty sure you'd go, wow, he approves of porn. Mm. Okay, so that is a marker of your witness.
Using righteous judgment. Correct. I understand.
That's righteous judgment. If I got a t-shirt on that says blah stuff about the world that's approving of it, you're going to go... And if I go, I've actually done this. Christians walk by and they got these worldly t-shirts on.
I go, that's
on your temple. And they go, this isn't even my shirt. I borrowed it from my roommate. And I go, but it's on your temple.
Right.
So you should, if what's on your Facebook page, associate pastor.
Actually, my Facebook page, I don't even have access to that now because it got hacked.
Okay.
So I can't even get into it.
So are you telling me that somebody hacked your Facebook page added NFL likes on your page?
What's been put on there for likes for the NFL page? Yeah, that's me.
And so that was you.
And the Lord rebuked me about it. And he said, you need to get out of that.
Awesome.
You know?
Okay. So I just called you out for what I saw, and it was righteous. And now you're saying if you had a choice, you would remove that off your Facebook page.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I haven't been.
So that's great.
Actually, I haven't really been on Facebook too much.
Yeah. You know what? We have a Facebook page. Facebook became so annoying. They started limiting our posts. They started deleting stuff. We put final posts up, and now everything is done on our website that we pay for, we control. I had a blogger. For 10 years, this is my fault. I had a blogger website called Unbiblical Teachers. I had hundreds of testings on it. And about a month and a half ago, was it? They took it down. Because now you know what they call internet bullying and harassment? Is if you just test somebody to the Word of God. They're calling it bullying and harassment. So they took down my whole website, but that the Unbiblical Teachers page, and that's okay, because all my teachings and stuff are still on the Spirit and Truth blog, and we have a lot of it transferred over to Don't Perish. So if that wasn't of you, or it's no longer of you, that's great. But let me finish what I was saying. So I walk, you and I, we talked yesterday, we had a so-so conversation. I did go look at your church body, I see a lot of sin there. I emailed you. I didn't hear back from you. You said you got it. You were going to email me. I come back today, and there's a Baptist guy standing in your booth. You don't even agree with the Baptist guy's doctrine.
He's a
once saved, always saved guy. Christmas and Easter that you said you're moving away from. Then there's this other guy in the plaid shirt that said he's part of. He said he agrees with every single thing I said, and he's practicing it.
What do you think about...
What's the name of that guy's church? In the plaid shirt. How do you know him?
Rob. He goes to Glenwood City. I'm not sure.
Glenwood City. What is it called?
Glenwood City.
Oh, it's in Glenwood City?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know.
So, one of the things, though, that it says at the... I'm shifting gears. I'm not trying to abandon that topic. But I'm shifting gears. One of the things that Paul said in Corinthians 11, I think it's in verse 15, the woman's hair is her natural covering. And I got to the end of that. I'm like, he does say that when she's praying or prophesying or speaking in the church that she have her head covered, you know? And this is something that...
Two different coverings. There's a spiritual covering. He says, does not nature even show you that her long hair has given her for covering? So that is a natural covering, but the word veil in Corinthians, I have articles on all this on our teaching blog. That word veil in the Greek is an actual veil. And if a woman's long hair or hair is her covering, for you and I to be uncovered, it wouldn't be a problem for me because I'm bald. You'd have to shave your head. So it's not hair. It's a veil covering. And the reason my wife covers all the time is because I used to witness with a baseball hat on when I was first believer a couple years into it. And I didn't know some of these things.
How long have you guys been a believer?
15 years.
15 years.
So the first couple of years, I didn't know this stuff. I used to witness with my baseball hat on all the time. My wife learned about head coverings in the first year we studied. We said, you got to do it. I said, well, the Bible says my head's to be uncovered. Okay. So me as a brand new dripping wet believer, I said, well, whenever I pray and witness or teach the word of God, I'll take my hat off. Well, you know what happens when you wear a baseball hat? You're walking in the gas station. Oh, hey, here's a gospel card. You start talking to somebody. You start witnessing to them for half an hour, and all of a sudden you go, I had my head on the whole time. My head was covered the whole time. It kept happening to me over and over because I didn't like sun on my bald head. Finally, I told my wife, I'm done. The hat's gone. I'll have to live with the sun on my bald head. God's given me grace. We stand out in 100-degree heat. He shades me. He tans me. Whatever he does, you can't have your head covered. So the Bible is very clear on these things. And the reason the churches don't teach it today is because it's a feminized culture that people haven't come out of yet. You haven't fully come out of it yet if you allow lady pastors.
Well,
Paul says
I said yes to that. But one of the things is that we don't have any lady pastors at our church.
Well, but it doesn't matter. You're a doctor. That's like saying I agree with homosexuality, but our pastor's not a homosexual.
But that's still an area, I guess, right now of where I'm like, you
Paul
know,
says I you
women
not,
can prophesy in the church.
A woman cannot usurp authority over a man nor teach a man.
Right.
Clear. Done. End of story. It was never that way. I can back it up. Titus says, what's the qualifications of a Titus 1 elder? Husband of one wife.
Right.
Now, women can teach other women. The Bible teaches on that. My wife can proclaim the gospel. She can. She does it all the time. As soon as she learns a man is a believer, she only goes so far. But as soon as she knows a man's a believer, she says, I can't teach a believing man. I really can't teach any man too far. You got to go talk to my husband or go to our website. She teaches women. We have to know our boundaries. So these people that talk about Junia, which that was really questionable, that was a man or a woman. They talk about Phoebe. They talk about Priscilla and Aquila.
Right.
This is Priscilla and Aquila right here. You don't see my wife teaching and rebuking men, okay? She does occasionally share some truth with men while I'm talking to someone else, then I'll come over and I'll talk to them. So all of these are, there was none of that before feminization came along. So you're a young man. You don't realize, I was telling Colin, I don't approve of these men.
How old do you think I am?
They're heretics. 30.
Two posts.
You're probably 30.
32.
Okay, other posts. You go back, and I don't promote these men. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Edwards, Spurgeon, all these great men of the evangelical, non-denominational faith, they all taught women to cover their heads. They all taught a form of, even Spurgeon, which is really crazy to believe, a cigar-smoking, beer-drinking guy. He was. He even said that if you live like the culture, you're like in the circus of the culture and that you have to be separate for Christ. So he was doing a lot of teaching where he says one thing, but he does another thing. Because no man's going to be smoking and then publicly indulging in beer drinking. There's nothing sinful about one beer. But, you know, if you saw me sitting here with beers, it gives a bad witness.
Well, you know, in an imbibing Paul says, culture. You know, he says, you know, if eating meat makes my brother stumble, I won't do it.
Right.
You know, and so right. I get that.
And so what that Baptist guy who was, by the way, you listened a little bit yesterday, and we had a good rapport. That guy today said he agreed with everything we listened. He said he's going to email me. That'd be great if he did. What was his first name, the guy in the plaid shirt?
That's Rob. Rob.
Rob. I meet so many people, I can't remember names. I have.
That's all right.
Getting old. The Baptist guy was antagonistic, and you, I don't know where you were, but I said, defend the Baptist faith in the scriptures. He said, oh, you're talking a lot. Defend the Baptist faith in the scriptures. He couldn't. He started preaching the gospel, which is great. He didn't even preach the biblical gospel. He doesn't really know what repentance is. Oh, stop right there. Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. You believe in that? Yeah, by faith. Okay, repentance. Have you come out of the world? Have you given up your pride and vanity? Have you given up your cultural ways of politics, sports, entertainment? Have you given up the false churchianity ways? No. You haven't repented. The gospel stops right there. You haven't repented fully. Because the Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him.
But what about this? And I'm bringing a little bit of a challenge too, because I go back to...
Okay, sorry.
Talking about... I use this, the thief on the cross. When he was saved, you know, instantly,
yep.
New heart, new desires. There's nothing that he could do. But, you know, something that, you know, remember Apollos, he was taught a better way, right? Mm-hmm. Preached with more excellence. And to say that, you know, someone wouldn't be saved, I'm coming to you with earnesty and
so let's talk about the thief on the cross. I have an article on this. Ready? The thief on the cross followed the gospel. Want me to prove it? Ready? He believed on Jesus, did he?
Yeah.
Did he repent? He said, we're thieves. We belong here. He knew what they did wrong and
Correct.
He repented.
Okay.
Did he have a change? Something spiritually changed him. He's a thief dying. All of a sudden, he's defending the creator and the savior of the world.
Right.
He had some kind of spiritual rebirth. Did he have fruit of holiness? Did he witness to the other?
Did he said witness? We deserve what we get.
Did he witness the other thing? He said, "We belong here. What are you doing? Don't mock him." I'm paraphrasing. We belong here. And did he endure? Mm-hmm. He died before Jesus, or he died after Jesus. He endured in his faith. That's the gospel. The thief went through the entire gospel. He didn't just believe. He believed. He repented. He was born again by God's Spirit. Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise." He had fruit. He didn't mock Jesus on the cross, and he endured to the end. I did an article on that because I had a bunch of men telling me, "Well, the thief on the cross just believed." No, he did not just believe. What if after Jesus died, the thief...
I didn't say that he just believed. But that was really good.
But what if the thief on the cross would have said, "Ah, he died and didn't save us. Ah, forget it. I don't really believe in him." He wouldn't have endured. He would have lost his soul.
All right.
Well, that Baptist guy, he was very antagonistic.
Let me say this.
And very, very heretical.
You know what? I want to say, though, that I've been saved for 8 years.
You're not saved yet.
But see, that's the thing about
it. You're not saved yet. You have the hope of it today.
But listen.
But you're not saved yet.
But listen.
It's not done.
Because.
No claim it's done.
Because what I'm.
You have the hope of it. Your marriage isn't done. You have the hope of it.
Oh, because every when day. It's the end, you're saying.
Of course it's the end.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I just
okay.
asked Colin, ready? This might help you.
But
ready?
I asked you guys how long you're saved.
Do you need eternal life today?
No.
Nope. Why?
Because I'm not dead yet.
Because you're not dead yet. You got to endure till you die. Then you get it.
Right, and I get that.
So don't say you're saved today, because I have a question. When Jesus talks about, "I know my sheep, I won't lose one of them," I agree. Jesus won't lose any. Do we know who they really are? You look at my wife and I, and you might go, "Met this guy, seems pretty godly, seems pretty intent, don't know him that well." Do you know in 5 years if I'm going to be doing this, or I'm going to go back to my old ways and be drinking, carousing, womanizing, robbing banks? Do you know what, one way or another, which one I'm going to be doing?
No.
So don't tell me I have eternal life, which you're not. But tell me you have the hope of it today because you're walking in God's ways. I see no sin in you.
Gotcha.
I have the hope. You have the hope.
I've had the hope
for eight years.
Okay. Interesting. That's really interesting. I have the hope of salvation.
Yes, you do.
For 8 years. Okay. God opened my eyes.
Yep.
And I think
you would say you're born again 8 years?
Born again 8 years.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep. And, you know, things have had to be refined in me. You know, God has said, you know, you need to get this out of your life.
Sanctification's happening.
Sanctification.
Right.
And so this is a form of where I'm hearing something, increasing and learning, and I respect it. And that's not exactly how I wanted to come off yesterday with saying, "Well, you're going about it the wrong way." No, holiness and righteousness does need to be preached boldly. What I see in the church, what I see with the men, is trying to raise them up to another standard of saying, we need to stand for righteousness.
But they're not.
Well,
because they're practicing false ways.
And
they're not standing up for righteousness, including your dad.
But the thing about it is...
You guys got false teachers all over your Facebook page and your website.
False teachers.
Yeah. I'm working on the testing. I'll put it up. I'm going to put up the testing.
False.
You got false teachers. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And this is my problem, Chris. This is my problem. I warned you about it yesterday. I'm only talking to you today because you're saying that you're seeking and you might be repentant. That's great. I did repent. What'd you repent of?
I repented of embracing or not standing against pagan idolatry.
So if your dad keeps doing Christmas and Easter, you're going to stand against it? Are you going to separate from him?
It's a hard one to say.
You haven't stood against them because the Bible says if a man teaches, I want to read it to you. Yeah. I don't know where you were. No one wants to face this verse that Paul says,
me.
"I beseech you." This is so important, and there's other verses. It's not just one. It's not just this one. Romans 16:17. People say, "Two-post street preacher, you're divisive." I go, "Thank you, I am. I've divided from the world. I've divided from my sin. I've divided from the false religion. I've divided from Satan's kingdom. Thank you, I'm very divisive. But I cling to sound doctrine and those who do." So I am divisive. Jesus said in Matthew 10, "I come to bring a wet noodle to bring unity." No, I come to bring a what?
Sorry.
To what? Divide.
Right, right.
Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you." What do you think beseech means, Chris?
Challenge.
Yeah, it means like really important. Like, listen, pay attention, beseech. Brethren. Who's he talking to?
Believers.
"Mark them which cause division." Everybody stops right there and they go, "See? That's what your Baptist guy said today. See? He's divisive. Don't listen to him." It's not where it ends. "And offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." That means what the Word of God teaches us is our foundation, our base. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. He's the truth. That's what you live by. That's what you keep. That's what you practice. That's what you obey. If anyone else, Tupos, Colin, the Baptist guy, your dad, teaches anything different, and you go to them and say, you're teaching false doctrine. Paul doesn't say, keep singing, keep praying, keep uniting, keep gathering with them. Mark and avoid them. That's what it says. How is your dad going to know the seriousness of his sin and false ways if his son, who may be the only one close to him, your dad's not going to listen to me. Who cares what Tupo says? My son is leaving me, who I raised. Yeah, dad, because you're in sin. How is your dad going to see the seriousness of his sin if you don't be a Noah and preacher of righteousness and say, dad, I'm standing outside calling to you to repent. If you don't repent, I will never join you again. In fact, I won't even be able to talk to you anymore. And people will go, Tim, his name's Tim, right?
Correct.
Tim, what happened to your associate pastor's son? He doesn't lie. He started reading the Bible, and he said that the pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, women teachers, we're worldly, we don't teach women to cover their heads. He started teaching against what I teach, and we parted ways because of that sin. That should cause your dad pain and suffering, because your dad should go, lost my son, lost my brother, he's your also his brother, and it's because of sin and false traditions that I can't really defend in God's word. Because if your dad can defend him in God's word and they make sense and you have a good argument, he's going to win me, he's going to win you. We'll all be there and you will unite to him. It's not going to happen. You're not going to defend what's not in God. How can you defend what's not in God's word? You can't. What if I told you got to wear a chicken on your head in order to worship Jesus? And I can defend it in God's word. Not there. Christmas isn't there. All your friends, or the guy in the plaid shirt, and Colin were standing there. He admitted, Paul, Peter, John, none of them celebrated Christmas. None of them celebrated Easter Sunday. He didn't rise on Sunday. None of them kept Good Friday. None of them had feminization in their church bodies. Okay, I got to bring this up. You guys have dancing. Now, let's talk about this. There was some dancing in the Old Testament. David danced once. He wasn't naked, by the way. He took off his kingly garb. He still had clothes on. He wasn't naked. In the Bible...
Are you sure?
Of course. Of course. It says he had an ephod on.
Right.
He's not naked.
Yeah, yeah.
Ephod's an undergarment. Guess what? See what I have on?
Danced in his underwear. Right?
He basically danced in his underwear. But he had more coverage. He had as much coverage as you have on right now. Pants are underwear. You know where pants come from? Breeches. Look it up in the Old Testament. I got articles to teach on all this. Pants are an undergarment. They used to go here because if a man's thigh would be exposed, the Levitical priesthood, it would shame God. That's the nakedness for man. Your thigh above your knee should never show. So God had breeches. In the culture, pants eventually grew all the way. That's why men wore pants. Women never wore pants. God gave them to the Levitical priests. Pants became, and there's nothing wrong, I wear pants because I like better coverage. Now, there's nothing unbiblical. I'll do this, nobody's around. If I would dress like this, this isn't unbiblical for a man. I don't like it. I like to cover up more. That's just me. But definitely, pants are an undergarment. The tunic is the overgarment. That's how you tuck in your spiritual, your gird your loins either spiritually, or you can actually gird your loins with your tunic physically. Here's the point. You guys are doing dancing. It's in the Old Testament a little bit. Never in the New Testament do we see dancing. We don't see instruments in the New Testament. Musical instruments.
About in the Old Testament when David, you know, I'm bringing
that's that David. Life. David but killed he, sheep.
But think about the instrumental team that he had.
Guess what?
Remember Proverbs, it says he's written to the king, yep. Chief musician.
Yep, you know? You're missing a key point. That was all before the Holy Spirit. They had nothing on the inside. They were dead. They were. They had nothing. I mean, I can prove to you how dead these people were. Ready? The Hebrews were the most moral people on the face of the earth, but spiritually, without the Holy Spirit, they were dead. Do you know how I can prove that? Ready? Do you know what a tassel is? You ever read about tassels?
The Jewish.
Yeah. Some people think we're Hebrew roots keepers, and we're not. They would wear tassels on the ends of their clothes.
Like Torah observers, kind of?
Yeah, we're not that. We fight against them. They're heretics. Why did they wear tassels, according to the Bible?
Remembrance of God.
They were so... They saw God do miracles, parting the Red Sea, manna from heaven. They were so void inside. God said, put tassels on so you can remember me. How about, you know what a phylactery is?
Oh, the little box.
The Word of God written between their eyes. God said, hang it between your eyes so you won't forget the commandments of God. So that's the Old Testament. Yep, hand your hand. That's the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit comes in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit hides the Word of God in our hearts now. And now, guess what? We are now the instrument. We no longer need drums, cymbals, flutes to make noise. We are now the instrument. And Ephesians, I have articles on this, actually teaches we have become the instrument. And Paul says, sing, pluck your harp, and sing to God with your lips. And what the big issue with instrumental music is, it's fleshly. Instrumental music.
You're talking about the worldly type of.
No, I'm talking about instrumental music. Instrumental music is never used in the New Testament. It wasn't used for 900 years. This is true.
Do you know that for a fact, though?
What's that?
Do you know that for a fact that instrumental music was not used?
Yes, it's a historical fact. It's a historical fact. For 900 years, there were no instruments in the New Testament body. We don't see them in the New Testament scriptures. You know who brought the organ in? Roman Catholics. And from the organ, now you have rock bands. Because see, hear that music? That makes you want to start moving your body. It's fleshly. This today, the new covenant is all in spirit. So I have articles on all that, but let's get back to the dancing. I find it highly hypocritical that you guys put on dancing for God, but yet I know people from that church go out in the world and they live worldly. That is lip service Christianity. That is throwing God this holy scrap in the building and dancing and twirling. That isn't even New Testament. We don't see any of that in the New Testament. And then they go out and they live like the world, watching Netflix and the Packers and makeup and jewelry. And that is so lip service Christianity.
So shamefacedness, you would say that.
Who wore makeup in the Bible? Two people, two groups of people.
The sodomites, you would say, right?
Pagans and harlots. Nobody else wore makeup in the Bible.
And that's proven through scripture, though. Through scripture?
Through scripture. Show me anybody else who wore makeup. One time a man said, oh, no, no, no. Help me, honey. What's that? I can't hear.
Esther.
Yeah, Esther. I get that one confused. Some man told me, oh, Esther got ready and put on makeup to marry the king. Some of the translations say she wore makeup. She wore, it says cosmetics. You go look up the word, you know what it is? Again, study the Greek and the Hebrew. She put ointment on her body. You know what she did? It was a beautiful representation. She was getting ready to marry the king. As a woman, she was cleansing her body with oils in baths and getting her body all ready to marry the king. She wasn't painting her face and doing something different to her face that God didn't do, because when you wear makeup, you're telling God, I don't like how I look. You made a mistake. I want to make myself look better. So only pagans and harlots wear makeup. Why do women do up their hair, wear jewelry, put on flashy and tight adorning clothes? Why do women do that? Christian or non-Christian, why do they do that?
To get attention.
Does that sound godly to you?
No.
No. So that's why the Bible doesn't teach it. That's why we don't do it. So all of this stuff that goes on in your church system that your dad, I got to point it out, maybe you are a sheep that want to listen. Your dad needs to point out he is a hireling false teacher for 30 years. Then maybe,
what about, okay,
maybe he'll repent and listen like you. If he does, I'll be amazed.
Because he's paid, correct, you're saying, right? Is that because the pastor's paid, you don't think
A hireling is someone that makes money to do the things of God, and they don't protect and defend the sheep. Your dad is a hireling because he takes money to take that role, and he's not protecting the sheep because he allows false doctrine, paganism, feminism in.
What's the verse that says, do not withhold grain? Do not muzzle an ox while he treads.
Oh, yeah. That has nothing to do with. That has nothing to do with a hireling. You never heard me say that you can't provide income for a worker of God to go proclaim the gospel. You never heard me say that. I'm talking about hireling pastors. Jesus called out hireling pastors. Hireling pastors have made a position out of it. They've made it a job, not a calling. And they're not even doing what they're called to do. Your dad is not protecting people. He's not even protecting his own son from wicked Calvinist Baptists. He's not doing it. So he's a hireling. And Jesus said, you know a hireling, because they don't defend the sheep. They run from the wolf when he comes. Now, if your dad's a true man of God, he'll say, who is this guy? Let's talk to him. Let's get to the bottom of this. If he's got sin, we'll root it out. If we've got sin, we'll root it out. I don't see that happening. I'm impressed you're sitting here talking to me. I don't know why.
Because the love of God's in me. I want to know the truth.
Well, that's great. You're one of the few from the church system that I know would do that. I'm not saying God can't do it. I'll rejoice when I see your fruit, which will be you telling your dad, and this, and this doctrine. Forget this guy, Tupos. This doctrine you teach false, Dad. God's word doesn't teach that. I will no longer unite to you. When you leave him because of that, I will begin to believe you.
Three things.
I will begin to lock direction with you if you want that, to go deeper in the word of God. But you have to take care of what you see as sin before we move on to anything else.
Okay.
So you have to take care of, you know, if I was a drunk and you knew I was a drunk and I said, yeah, Chris, I want to follow Jesus. And I'm drinking, you'd go, okay, the first thing, are you ready to repent of your drunkenness? Well, I don't know about that, but let's talk about all that other stuff. You'd go, first things first, you're not going to repent of this drunkenness. Nothing else is going to matter. So if you're not willing to forsake your church system, your wife might fight against you. I don't know. Your wife might fight against you. You might have to lose your wife. Men have. I know men that have lost their wives.
Three things that you've given me to chew on. And you've pointed out a lot of scripture to it.
But you're not going deep enough, I don't think. Because, I mean, you keep talking about head covering, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about dress. That's important. You're not dressed biblical as a man.
This isn't dressed biblical.
No. No, it's not.
And see, that's not clear cut in the New Testament. Well, and maybe in the Old Testament under... You know what I mean? Like,
well, do you believe we keep some pre-Torah things?
I don't know everything that you believe, I guess, you know. I mean,
do you believe that... Didn't we cover this with you? If an animal attacked your family, a bear, would you kill it to defend your family?
Yeah.
That's taking dominion. That's Genesis 1.
Correct.
Would you marry three women or would you marry two men?
What do you...
Would you marry more than one woman?
No.
That's marriage. God gave that in Genesis, a man and a woman. Would you drink blood?
No.
That's given in Genesis 9. Okay, so we keep pre-Torah things. How about go to the Ten Commandments. This is the moral law, and we clearly keep that with one alteration. We covered it yesterday. The alteration is we don't keep Saturday Sabbath anymore. We're resting in Christ, but we're working for him. So we rest in Christ as we work for him. Your Baptist friend has it wrong. He says he's laboring for salvation. No. I'm resting perfectly in what Jesus did for me. I need his righteousness. Now I'm laboring for him.
Do you think,
in the kingdom of God.
Can I ask you this?
So, going back to this, Genesis 3, God killed animals, the first shedding of blood, Genesis 3:21.
Correct.
And he put man in t-shirts and shorts. Nope.
Tunics.
This, I believe, is a representation of a tunic.
Of animal skins.
Right. The material's not important. The concept, what was the concept? Why did God do it? What did Adam and Eve put on after they sinned?
Or fig leaves.
Aprons. Your wife wears an apron, my wife wears an apron, I wear just an apron, you just wear an apron, and that's all we got on? We're naked. We're pretty naked. Showing off everything else. God, think about this, Chris.
No, I don't know. It's definitely...
Nobody thinks about this.
Tunics, though.
God acted and put clothes on us. It's the only thing that God acted and added to our physical frame. God himself with his own hand. And everybody writes it off. And it's an archetype of the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ. Because he killed an animal. You ever hunt, you kill an animal, it bleeds out. God dresses us. And ever since that day, every godly man, every prophet, from Noah to Abraham, the prophets, to Jesus, to Paul, they all covered their forms. Do you know why we cover our forms? Because God knew, now they know good from evil, they're into sin, you're going to look with lust. You're going to desire what's not yours. You're going to be covetous. You're going to fall into sexual sin. The sexual drive is pretty powerful in man, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Look what it causes people to do.
No, absolutely.
God told us to cover up. So you know why? We don't have to look at people. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do. You know,
and
maybe
it never changed.
But I'm going to take it a step.
So they haven't gone deep enough to teach that.
But modestly, you know.
Where does the word modest appear in the Bible?
Talks about women being
where does it
modest.
Appear? I was going there before. 1 Timothy 2 says, dress in modest apparel. Terrible translation. You're only 32. 30 years ago, when you were still in diapers, the world was more modest when I walked on the street than it is today. Modesty is like this changing thing. That's a terrible word. Go look at the Greek. It's beautiful. I love to teach people this. You know how my wife and your wife should dress, and every godly woman that wants to be a child of God should dress? Modest apparel. The translation is actually neat, orderly robe. That's what it actually says. Shorts aren't an apparel. Women in pants aren't an apparel. A dress or a robe to cover you. Neat, orderly robes. And a man wears a tunic because he can. His lower leg can show. The Bible says in the Old Testament that a woman's leg shouldn't show. And Paul backs it up and says a woman should wear apparel is a long flowing catastole. It's a robe. And again, it makes perfect sense. God's holy. He wants his people to be holy. Jesus comes back in a robe. And let me encourage you if you make it. What do we get in Revelation if we're faithful and Christ returns? What do we get one day, Chris?
I don't know.
A robe of righteousness.
A robe of
not shorts and t-shirts. You get a robe of righteousness. Get used to it now.
See that you keep your garments clean.
I'm sorry?
See that you keep your garments clean.
There's another thing, yeah. Walking.
Garments, but what does that mean for garments?
Look up the word garment. Tunic.
I will.
Tunic. Tunic. Robe. Mm. I got an article on tunics. One modern pastor challenged me. Where's that in the Bible?
But then I take it to the next extreme.
I took him through the Old to the New Testament. Somebody, it's all over it.
Somebody that's never gone through, like what you're doing right now. What you're
being
what,
a biblical Berean and studying the scriptures.
To see if those things are so.
Right.
Correct. But do you think that they wound up in hell? You know, if they lived their life